repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. If you missed our earlier broadcast of Art Thomas and Art Thomas Ministries, you've got to get it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get it. God wants to heal, and he wants to use you to heal people in Jesus' name. It was a powerful, powerful broadcast. Today, we're going to be having a prophetic warning coming from Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries. But first, we want to look at the four blood moons. There was a movie that was out. There's prophecy out. We're going to explain this a little bit more. But this movie, you've got to see it to kind of get context of what God does and how he moves and shows himself with signs. And we're moving towards this last phase, this last part of the fourth blood moon. As a matter of fact, first let's take a look at this movie. You can see it now.
Thank you.
My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's what God tells us. And there's so many ways that you can get knowledge today. One quick, rapid way is go to Amazon.com, go to VFNTV.com, go to your local store that would sell this movie and documentary and watch it. Just get educated. We're moving into that season in this last part of these four blood moons, and it is important. And we need to pay attention because God speaks through signs, and you can kind of be informed on that. But June the 10th, a prophetic warning came out from Rick Joyner, and he begins this conversation, you know, speaking about this fourth moon is coming, and he talks about prophetic chatter. When you think about chatter, you know, the law enforcement, what they do is they begin to hear chatter, you know, little pieces of conversation that's going on of people who were enemies of the citizens of America, enemies of America, and they kind of build a narrative from that to understand that there's a strategy coming against America, for example, or a citizen, and they kind of, it's called chatter. When God begins to move, he speaks prophetically to all of us in different ways, and we have pieces of that. And so you start hearing pieces of this conversation, and you start realizing, you know, there's chatter going on. But when we come together, we have a unified message. You know, what's God saying, you know, to his people? As a matter of fact, let's join Rick Joyner right now as he's given this prophetic warning.
Times, and will never happen again. So, of course, everybody's wondering what in the world is going to happen in 2015, this year. And, of course, the last blood moon where this happens is this coming fall, this autumn. And it'll be the last one. Now, people who are completely disconnected from the prophecies of the blood moons, and there is a lot of speculation about what's going to happen. But all I know, you know, there's one thing that we call prophetic chatter. You know, now, one of the ways our intelligence services can forecast terrorist attacks and things is by the chatter they pick up from terrorist sources. All of a sudden, the communications rise. They know something's about to happen. And we kind of parallel that with what we call prophetic chatter. All of a sudden, prophetic people are saying something's going on. And you wish that they could be more specific. I wish that we could be more specific. God only reveals in part. And most unfortunately, many try to be more specific with their own conclusions, and they usually miss because of that. But I have, you know, an incredible amount of prophetic chatter is going on right now that something major is coming in the fourth quarter of this year, which will coincide with the last blood moon. This was going on long before the blood moon prophecies became popular, and I don't believe there was a direct connection. Now, I was recently, in fact, just 2 days ago, I was in a council in Dallas where they pulled together people who are experts in many different fields, and from security policy, the military, defense, to the economy, some of the greatest economies, probably the most knowledgeable economist maybe alive today could have been in that room. Just amazing people in just about in many key fields. And this was about putting together a council, kind of like Winston Churchill's shadow cabinet. Now, this group is not trying to be any kind of cabinet or anything, but just to come up with first identifying the ultimate crises that we're facing as a nation, and then to propose workable, practical solutions for each one. And for our next president to have these potential solutions at his or her disposal, that this crisis has come down, this is what we can do to fix this. It's kind of, you know, it's not partisan. It's just we believe our nation is in jeopardy. And these are some of the best and the brightest that have been a part of different administrations. Quite a remarkable group together, and all of them were saying, we're not going to make it through this fourth quarter without something major happening, from their perspective, from the perspective of terrorist attacks, from the perspective of the economic challenges we're expecting. I mean, across the board, it was like everybody was pointing to the fourth quarter. Many people in that room had no knowledge of what's going on prophetically. Now, I was in there as kind of a representing, they thought, anyway, I was kind of representing evangelical church. There were other evangelical Christians in the room, but they were representing other aspects of this thing. But a number of our board members from the Oak Initiative were in there. There were only about 20 people in this room. And for 2 days, we just hashed stuff out. It was great. And then our friend Nigel Bigpine summed it all up. Yeah, hopefully you've met Nigel or seen him here. And truly a remarkable man. I call him the happiest Indian I've ever met in my life. He's always happy. He's just full of the joy of the Lord. He loves God. But, you know, he summed everything up by saying, welcome to the reservation. You know, we've been living under this for, you know, a century or more now. And everything you're talking about happened. You know, there were those talking about how, you know, our Constitution's not honored. Well, they're saying, you know, we thought we had a treaty. None of it was honored. Everything that was promised us, none of it came through. And they, and how the last conclusion of it was all of a sudden America is like in the same place the reservations have been in for a long time. And that's their world. And Nigel's just saying, hey, this is normal life. We don't trust governments anymore because they've never kept their word to us. You know, not a single treaty made to the Native Americans was ever kept. Not even one. Maybe some of them a little bit. But everything they were told and promised turned out to be the opposite. And they learned after a while, every new treaty was for the purpose of more control on them and their lives. And depriving them of more property and more of their rights and everything else. And that's the way almost every new law being passed is encroaching on our freedoms and taking our property, taking our resources, taking our freedoms. But they've been, you know, that's what they've been going through. But, you know, Nigel did a much better job of explaining what it means to live on the reservation. And everybody was just stunned. They said, you know, we really couldn't go on after he shared that night. Lance Wallnau was supposed to share after him. Lance said, I am not going to say anything after that. He said, I can't talk after that. And we don't need to say anything else tonight. And I told Nigel years before, you know, I'm 1/16 Cherokee. Personally, a great grandmother was full Cherokee Indian. So me and 15 other people would make one good Indian. You know, or 15 of them like me. Nigel's an awesome guy, but he just summed it up. And I wonder about, are we not reaping what we've sown for what we've done to the Native Americans? I remember one time my wife and I were having dinner with this Polish countess, and Lady Blanka Rosenstiel. She had been, from an incredibly wealthy family from Poland.
This is so important. We're going to come back from this break, and we're going to pick up right here at this particular meeting that was taking place with the First Nation people. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are all forms of religion banned from public school organizations? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for Head Start, and they have recently started an inclusion policy stating that we're not allowed to address like religious holidays or, you know, even birthdays in the class. But now they're taking it over to the staff also. If we can't do it for our parents and their kids, and I was wondering if that's constitutional.
We need to get that inclusion policy changed, and we need to get a copy of that inclusion policy sent over to our office right away to look at. That's an overreaction by Head Start. It's a religious cleansing of sorts. First of all, students have the rights of religious expression in the schools, and this famous case that set that standard said it's neither teachers nor students surrender their rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. Now, the teacher can't lead a religious exercise. If you could send the inclusion policy into the ACLJ offices or national headquarters, we'll take a look at that right away.
Stay informed on critical issues by visiting us online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to join again with this prophetic warning from Rick Joyner as he is talking about the First Nation people coming together. It's so important for us to come and deal with the sins of our fathers as the Gibeonites were dealt with David. Join now.
And her parents had gotten their wealth out of Poland before the Nazis invaded in 1938 and or 39. And she's a very wealthy woman. She's a member of the council that awards our Medal of Freedom and things like that. And she was hosting these big events, and she would have, you know, former presidents. I know General Schwarzkopf, who led the first Iraq War, and, you know, many others like that would be her, you know, her guest of honor at this. And then they would bring in Indian chiefs just to honor. And I said, really? Wow. You know, how are you from Poland, a Polish immigrant, in touch with what's going on with our Native Americans? She rolled out this big map to my wife and I. And she had her staff draw this up, a map of America where every Indian tribe in America was. And there are about 600 tribes. And she had listed on this, and she had done, had them do the research, and she had researched all of the atrocities done against every tribe. And she said, if we don't fix this, she says, I'm an American now by choice. I came to America. I'm an American citizen. She's actually became one of our leading citizens. And she says, but I know we've got to fix this with them, or we will lose everything we've got. We're going to lose our freedom. We're going to have done to us what was done to them. We've got to fix this. And in her only way she knew how to do was have these giant events and invite the local chiefs in to be the guest of honor. When some of the most esteemed and, you know, powerful people in our country were there, she would honor the chiefs. And just as well, she said, I'm only doing what I know to do, but I know we've got to make this right. I do believe that. I believe that too. I know when we got our property here at Heritage, you know, I went to the local chief whose tribe had owned this land, and a huge chunk of land from North and South Carolina had been taken from this tribe, just seized and taken away from them. And so the only thing I knew to do was to go with a sin offering. I took a silver box full of silver, and we had a ceremony, and Nigel came and helped us, Nigel Big Pond. Came and helped us, and I just said, look, all I want to do is apologize for what's been done to you and your tribe and in history, and I know we're on land, and we ask your permission, land that was yours and unlawfully taken from you, we ask for your permission to do what we're going to do on this land. And he was a great Christian man. He was so appreciative that we would acknowledge all that. But then he said, of course. And we, you know, we had a big ceremony here, and he blessed us, gave us their blessing, tribal blessing and everything. I really knew we had to get that if we're going to do what we had here. And all the wrong, we tried to then go back to the PTL members who had invested so much, and we didn't know what to do. But you have to do something to try to make things right, especially these great, terrible cultural wounds. And, you know, we have that case in 2 Samuel 13, where, you know, not 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, where, you know, a famine came on the land during the times of David. And David inquired of the Lord, why has this famine come upon us? And he said, because of Saul and his bloody house. Because he killed the Gibeonites. And that David didn't do that. His generation didn't do that. It was a previous generation. But David had to go and make it right to lift the curse off the land. The shedding of innocent blood brings a curse. Do you know where the first concentration camp, maybe in world history, was? Possibly the first concentration camp in history was in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, about 5 miles from our Moravian Falls community. I've been to the fields. I know the fields where it was, where they first started gathering the Cherokee Indians and the other tribes in this region, And then they moved them to Georgia and began what is now called the Trail of Tears, but it actually began in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, as the first gathering place. And if you've ever studied the Trail of Tears and what was done to these Native Americans, and when they gave them blankets infected with smallpox and everything else just to kill them, I'm just saying, and this was done by our country, by our government. Actually, a lot of it was Andrew Jackson, one of our esteemed and honored presidents, the seventh president of the United States. This guy was not a good guy. And, of course, at the time, Indians, the Native Americans were attacking colonists. All kinds of atrocities were going on both sides. But that doesn't justify us responding with atrocities and what was done to them as a people group and trying to wipe out an entire people group started here. That was as bad. May not have been as big as what took place in Germany in the 30s and what's going on under ISIS now. And even worse things than that took place in the Middle Ages. But I still think we've got to acknowledge them or we'll never learn from them. They'll keep happening. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So we need to know our history, need to acknowledge it, and sometimes go back and make amends. What do we do because of all the broken treaties with the Indians? Well, you know, we say, well, they're not doing bad. They all have their own casinos now and everything else. But listen, what was done is terrible. Doesn't matter how well they're doing now, and that's not true. A handful are doing good. Maybe financially they're not good, doing good in many other ways, but through Nijo and many others, there is a great unity that's taking place among the tribes right now, maybe an unprecedented unity. I'm praying the same thing will happen in the body of Christ here. But I think there's some things we've got to do. If the Lord made David go back and fix what had happened, this previous wound, it was not healing. It would have been a perpetual cultural wound in the midst of their nation if they did not address it. Wounds don't heal with time. They've got to be cleansed and then closed and then kept, you know, with antiseptic, whatever, to keep the germs and the infection away until they've healed up. And we've got to do the same, but along with, you know, maybe we really need to take a hard look at what's going on with the Native Americans and see what we can do to make this right. I know that many have been...
This is so important. We're going to join this again, but think about the Gibeonites. The Lord, we delivered a message from the VFN Dream Center called Dealing with the Historical Sins of Our Fathers, specifically about the Gibeonites. That's available for you today at VFNTV.com. All of our partners, you can get it for I guess partner for any amount of, it doesn't matter what you partner for, but all these things are available to you. You need to understand what David did to be able to get the blessings of God because of historical leadership and what they did against the Gibeonites, who weren't even part of God's people. But they had a 3-year drought, a 3-year financial crisis. Why? Because of historical leadership. Did David do it? No. But David had to find out the wisdom of God and how to deal with it. And as soon as he dealt with it, guess what? The economy broke forth. Good things started happening, and you got to get it today. Go to VFNTV.com and become a partner for any amount at all, and you can begin to listen to it now. It's called Dealing with Historical Sins of Our Fathers. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do. Okay, and I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay, religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay, the cross has benefits. Okay, there's great benefits to Christianity, but Jesus got on it, and he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you. Or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, where we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right back to the prophetic warning by Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries. Let's go there now.
We need to take a hard look at what's going on with the Native Americans. See what we can do to make this right. I know that many have been trying and been doing a lot for a long time. This is no new thing and no new call, but I'm making it again. That, you know, maybe that would help begin healing in many other areas. At least get the Lord to see how serious we are, to appeal to the Lord to help us through all of these things that are emerging in our nation right now. They're all fixable, easily fixable by the power of the cross. We don't have to do what David did to heal the issue with the Gibeonites. We've got the power of the cross. But we've got to go to the cross. And I believe that begins with us acknowledging our need for the cross, our need for what Jesus did on the cross. Well, we've been talking about a lot of issues, and I know on a program like this, all I can do is stir your interest.
So you're looking at, when you think about the First Nation people, I think about my own encounter with Victor Ruiz, a friend of mine, brother of mine, but also a First Nation American. And God was walking us in this revelation, and you know, Victor came to my office and my ministry office, and we were talking. And as soon as we began to talk about, you know, the historical reality of our nation, what happened to the First Nation people, I mean, God's spirit. And we're talking about dealing with the sins of our fathers, Trail of Tears, and things that happened to the First Nation folks who was here when people came to be able to just take the land, and the things that happened by President Andrew Jackson and all that. And so we're talking about it. You know, I didn't know a lot about it, but I knew God was saying, you know, We need to repent for the sins of our fathers. And so I'm talking to Victor in my office, and I said, you know, I just want to ask you to forgive me for the sins of the fathers that happened to the First Nation people. I mean, as soon as I said those words, God's presence just impregnated the office that we were in. And Victor and I both just began to weep and weep and weep. And you know, his father is a chief. His grandfather was a chief of one of the First Nation tribes. And God just enveloped, you know, this place where we were talking about. And God just kind of melted us together at that point, and it was just powerful. But the thing about it was, it began with repentance, acknowledgement of what took place, and repentance. And God it was amazing what He did. And so it's so important. That's why you hear us quite often talk about on VFN TV, why we need to go back and talk about our history. It's not to go back and somehow in our own, you know, with calculators and attorneys trying to resolve something. As Christians, we're just trying to find out, you know, where we have sinned or where our fathers have sinned, and repent for it before God. And God makes the two one at the cross. True Christ-centered unity happens only at the cross of Jesus. And it's just so powerful when that takes place. And we're going to join again Rick Joyner as he's talking here about this very important next phase. And it's so important because we've got to understand unity. You know, and he quotes Francis Frangipane talking about, you know, poker. He says, four of a kind beats a full house. You think about that. So many people are focusing on trying to get a full house of a crowd of folks that nobody's in agreement. And the Lord says, you know, two, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Imagine what four can do. What we need is people who are in agreement with what God wants to do in the earth. It's not about the crowd. I mean, look what's happening with the crowds. It's about, with Jesus, it was about 12. I mean, we got to begin to think about, what does agreement mean? What does unity mean? He's going to talk about that now. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Control the 98% who were indifferent. And this was proven when the Bolsheviks, just 20,000 Bolsheviks, took over Russia, a nation of millions. Millions and millions. And but we have a better example of that with Jesus just saying, look what I can do with just 12 people. Give me 12 good people. I'll turn the world upside down. Really, only one person in God is plenty. The whole job can get done. My point here is we don't need to keep looking at big numbers. And, you know, I think it's our human nature, not our spiritual nature, but our human nature, to get more encouraged the more people that come with us, that follow us or side with us or come to our church or whatever. I think that's a big mistake, just as I am trying to let the political people I know understand it's a mistake to always be looking for the people. When the people came to make Jesus king, he fled to the mountains, it says. What's going to happen if the people make you king? Who's going to rule if the people make you king? Jesus wasn't going to have any of that. They couldn't make him king. He was born king. He got his authority from above, not below. I think we've got to understand that. You know, John Calvin in Geneva, he was a refugee from France, wasn't even a Swiss citizen. Had so much authority, he never held a public position, no public office, but no law would be passed without his approval. He had such incredible moral and spiritual authority. That sounds like a lot better to me than being the president or being somebody else. To just have the authority, well, they're going to come to you for your opinion, and whatever you say is going to rule. And but he had that kind of authority in Geneva. And, you know, sometimes I think we're distracted and deceived by looking for authority from the people instead of from above. Now, just a few months ago, I got jolted by something the Lord said to me. And just taking that little, you know, wherever two or three are gathered, there he will be in the midst. And I've always, I've been in the Lord. I'm actually not too far away from having been a Christian for half a century. And I had always misunderstood that. I had always looked at it, well, if there are just two or three, he'll be there. He said, you don't understand. You only want two or three at the beginning. I'll be there. If you'll get it down to two or three, I'll be there in your midst. I was shocked. He said, if you start getting more than that, you're not going to see me. You're going to be looking at each other. And I think that's proven to be true. Now, I believe things need to grow beyond that. You need to get bigger. But, you know, many of us, we just take, for example, trying to bring unity to the church in a city. We'll want to get at least a dozen, maybe two dozen of the churches together for some unity event. And that's encouraging if you can get that many. But sometimes I think we miss God because we can't get that many and we think we'll never have unity here. When that was a mistaken strategy. Instead of trying to get all this big group of churches, maybe the big churches behind it or whatever, why not just do it with one or two? Three at the most. Pastors start getting together and say, we're going to start praying together, getting together, investing in friendships, taking the other pastors out to lunch. But why not just have a unity movement with two or three? Three at the maximum. I think you're going to see the Lord in the midst of that a whole lot more. And then you know what's going to happen? More are going to want to be a part. But you can see how already you're getting the foundation right on we're going to follow the Lord. He's going to be our head. We see him. He is here now, and we don't want to ever lose his presence in this. I think there are many other things. I know in prayer, you know, Francis Frangipan, our good friend Francis, used to say, you know, in prayer, it's like poker. Four of a kind beats a full house. We don't need a lot of people. We just need unity. We need a few people in unity. Now, what would happen? We're doing this in the Oak Initiative. This is a major strategy going forward. We're putting together what are called fire teams. And, you know, when I had to go through Marine Corps infantry training, even though I was in the Navy. But it started, the most basic unit other than the soldier or the Marine was a fire team. You put three people together, made up a fire team. Three or four fire teams made up a squad. Several squads made up a platoon. Several platoons made up a company, etc. That was the basic military unit. And fire teams learned to work together and function together. And you became just knit together because your lives depended on each other. And so instead of trying to start big in some of these things, I think we need to make an effort to start little. And let's don't be so exclusive. We don't let other people in when it's time to let them in. But don't be discouraged if your unity movement starts with two churches instead of 20. I think you'll have more unity in the end. I think you'll have much more fruit. You'll eventually have more than 20 churches. You'll have probably all of them coming together because it'll be built on the right foundation. Jesus is the head. He's in our midst, and we're not going to do anything to lose him. We're here to follow him. Do you get what I'm saying here? So I just ask you to consider these things. You making an effort yourself just to get with one other person or two people once a week for coffee, two or three people in your church. You don't know what could happen. The Lord loves to do things that way. He loves to make the small confound, overwhelm the large. The weak, the strong. Isn't that the record that we have in his word? So think small, you know. And I've been hearing prophetically from many sources, you probably heard it too, because I've been hearing for years, that small is the Lord's next big. I think this is what he's talking about. So just consider that. Consider one or two other people you can start bonding and knitting together with. Start experiencing true koinonia fellowship with. and let it build. And watch what happens. And watch who gets the glory. Thank you.
This is so exciting. I mean, this is so God. I mean, think about it. The whole population of the earth were in meetings and gatherings and doing their best to follow God. But then God started walking the street with 12. I mean, think about it. With 12. And he rocked all creation, the universe. And Jesus says, you know, anything divided against itself will not stand. So unity is the opposite of division. And agreement is so important in God, because God's looking for us here on earth to agree with what he is saying and doing in heaven. And what better than to walk as he walked? We're going to kind of break this down a little bit after the break. It's very exciting, very encouraging. We've got so much to say. Come and join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The decision not to indict incites protests across
America's
the country.
America's longest war, a war on drugs.
It links America's veterans to hate groups.
Are you telling me that nobody at the Federal Reserve is keeping track of the losses, a $2 trillion portfolio?
He can't talk about his faith with his peers.
Another American beheaded by the radical ISIS militants.
Being told about jihad and resistance is to implement the law of Allah.
Are receiving lethal amounts of pain medication from VA hospitals.
Buying hospitals and turning them into profit centers.
The ban on same-sex marriage is officially over.
I'm tired about people being incarcerated. There's a big money to be made in the privatization of the prisons. I'm tired of the hospitals injecting people and killing people across America because they're driven by the drug companies. You can't believe anything. They're rewriting history. Facts are being changed. Things are being altered. Concern for the people, because they're not ready. You've heard me say it for years. If you're not a five, you're not radical for the kingdom of heaven, you are not ready for what's coming. America needs a heart change. America needs to come back to God. We need to get the Ten Commandments back in our courthouse. We got to get prayer back in the school. We got to get the Bible back as required reading in our schools, in our young people. The fear of God's got to come back in our country. Who will stand in the gap on behalf of a nation and tell the devil, no, you're not touching my country. No, you're not touching my children. God is waiting on you. What is it going to take for the American people to wake up? Don't look at the problems and walk away. You say, God, what do you want me to do? Don't tell me one person can't do a lot. One woman stopped prayer in schools. What can one person full of Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost do? You better wake up and rise up in the land. We got to mobilize everybody. It can't be just one or two, three preachers. Every person, from the little child to the oldest saint. We need every one of you. So all hands on deck. Everybody get involved. Come on, let's take back America. It's the only hope. Another great spiritual awakening. The thing about this final move of God is there'll be no unused members in the body of Christ. No unused members.
Welcome back. John, is this so
encouraging?
Encouraging, but yet terrifying. I don't know, it's everything at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's sort of like saying the train's getting closer, it's gonna hit you, the train's getting closer, it's gonna hit you. And when the train gets closer than it was when you first said it was closer, it's like nothing's changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the inevitability of being hit by a train is closer.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure.
Makes you want to move out of the way, out of the tracks. Well, so I'm thinking about, you know, that, you know, you said that small is the Lord's new big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is so important, is it not?
It is. So many people are focused on the opposite. They're focused on the big, the crowds, and obviously.
It can't be legitimate if it's just this man saying that he's Jesus. and fishermen.
Walking with a few.
He's got a tax collector with him. He's got a doctor. People, Dr. Trey is going like, I can't believe this medical profession is walking around with this man named Jesus, right?
Yeah. Of course. Right? And simple fishermen.
Yes, and simple fishermen.
Yeah. And so our eyes need to get off of exactly the whole big means best or the big means anointed, but do follow what Jesus did. Why, you know, or this emphasis on completely opposite of what the Lord did. If we were to look at large today at Jesus' ministry, I wonder how the church would actually
They would say John the Baptist is a failure. I mean, he never showed up, and he had his diet was low, you know. And
he didn't have
whatever.
Any gel in his hair.
He had no gel in his hair. His clothing was the same clothing every day.
He wasn't relevant. He wasn't relevant to the culture.
He didn't show up at any pancake breakfasts. Right. He was rejected by all current religious leaders. The authority of the land had his head removed. Yeah. And most people would say of that, they'd say, oh, he was a failure. If he just would have come. If John
he toned it down just a little bit.
I mean, he just
a little bit
too enthusiastic, you know, baptizing the Son of God. I mean, come on now.
What does he think?
If he truly baptized the Son of God, he wouldn't be in jail now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't have been taken down by the king's wife. I mean, that never would happen. Right. And so by a dance of that. Mm. And so, but the truth was, Jesus said of him that there was not a greater man on earth born of a woman than John the Baptist. And then he said, but you who are in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist.
Yeah.
I mean, we begin to understand that. And then to walk in agreement. People said, you know, what size are you trying to get to? I'm just trying to get to agreement. Can anybody fully agree that God is God, that Jesus is his son, and what he said is what we should do?
Come on.
And by his grace and in view of his mercy, let's follow him. And if he says repent, repent. If he says give, then we give. If he says go pray for this person, we go pray. If he says, you know, launch a television network and a radio network. Launch a television network and a radio network. You know, do whatever he says do, because he's God. Imagine, you know, we think about and we focus on these seven mountains of culture. There's seven spheres of culture that if you really want to disciple a nation, what God has called us to do is to disciple nations, right? And I think about Bill Bright. He talked about really there's seven spheres in culture, seven mountains we refer to them as. And these seven mountains, are there a few, like two, three, four people who agree about, I want to be a part of that kind of agreement. But I mean, think about it. It's like Francis Frangipane said that, you know, you think about poker, that four of a kind beats a full house.
Right.
But this is the difficulty. When you give up a full house, you give up all the money you and that building are making from that full house.
Mm.
But think about this. Isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth giving, you know, find you a job, you know.
Do something.
Think about that. We can have the highest paid ministers in the world.
Yeah.
If we just free ourselves up from religion and like be a CEO of an oil company or something and take care like Jesus did, you know, of 12 that are there. And I mean, you can even have vacation pay and you can be free to speak truth and you don't care what Mrs. Jones says in the back row. And, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, and believe me, I got good friends with Miss Jones. I'm not talking about Miss Jones, just kind of using that as an example. But we have a limited amount of time to act. I mean, the storm is forming. The fourth blood moon is coming. Prophecy is, the chatter is out. And people are still, you know, going through the motions. And really, it's the leader. When you think about leadership, most people are going to follow leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so as leaders, you know, I encourage you to just go, you know, there's problems. I think about a pastor in Pace, Florida. He's a pastor of, I think, Pace Assembly of God or something like that. He has his name is Tommy something. Anyway, so
not Pace Assembly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. And he began to just shift it. He shifted to what he was saying and started talking about the headlines and going like, it's time. It is time. And I'm like, wow, that's exciting. And like every person who calls himself a person who hears from the Lord, we need to start saying what he's saying. And if we don't hear what he's saying, we got to find somebody who hears what he's saying. But this is what God is saying based on the chatter. You know, you're hearing little bits and pieces. We're hearing quite a bit about what's going on.
And the convergence. It's convergence coming together.
Huge convergence. Matter of fact, you need to go to VFNTV.com and listen to convergence. You'll hear all these things coming together. But the big thing that God's saying is our Father loves us. The storm that's been fashioned against us to discipline us, but it hasn't fully come. But he does not want it to come. And if we'll listen to what he's saying, and we will respond to what he's saying, he will stop the storm. No matter how inevitable it looks like, ask Jehoshaphat. He'll stop the storm. And somebody says, that's a long ways to go. No, it's just a matter of standing up and falling face down. It's not a long way. It's repentance. It's saying he's right. It's saying, you know what? If I need to get with a couple other people who are walking in agreement, that's what I'm going to do. Even if I have to leave all this stuff and all this religion. John, the Pharisees would not even, they looked Jesus square in the eye. They were so convinced that their religion was right. When God showed up, they called him Satan.
That alone.
It should put the fear of God.
That alone.
Yeah. 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 And then so Jesus is talking. He says, listen, he says, you know, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because right. what they're saying is correct, but what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
But Jesus first came to them. He's saying, listen, he wanted everybody to come in. But he says, you know, hey, if, and he had more to say about false pastors than he did about false prophets.
Yeah.
It's very important to understand that every one of us has to go, you know, dear God, help me if I'm deceived in any way, because deception is what we think we're doing is right when we're wrong. And that's why you got to have a relationship. And if you don't walk in a relationship with people who can see your life, and so many people are alone, and nobody's looking into your life, and you could be terrified, alone, afraid, in dark sin. You don't know how to get out of it because people are thinking you're walking on water, and you're preaching the word of God, and they're thinking that, you know, that, hey, you know.
And you're allowing them to think that you walk on water.
Yeah, but you think about it. But if you hadn't lived your life with somebody, you know, you can't. You don't feel you can trust anybody.
Yeah.
But at some point, you just got to bust out of that religious mindset and just go. And by the way, if you tell your people the truth, I'm telling you, they understand, because if you're in that, they're in a lot more than you're in.
Mm.
And when they hear that you know, God can save you, and you can read our testimonies, you know, that if God can save John and me.
That's right.
Especially Pat, you know, that God can save any of us.
There's hope.
God forgives all sin. I mean, but we have to make a choice. You know, repentance, I think, we don't have a lot of time, but just, I'm telling you, now is the day. Today is the day. This whole thing is coming to a crescendo. And we can be the church no matter what happens. What we need to do is walk in agreement. We want to invite you to go to vfntv.com, go to the contact area, and contact us if you're interested in that walk. We're not talking about leaving what you're doing. Just joining with us in the studios and begin that conversation, exploring what God is saying about walking in unity. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you for this truth. I thank you for this prophetic warning. I thank you, Lord God, for the producer of this movie, Four Blood Moons. And I pray, God, Lord, that we would have ears to hear, eyes to see. God, I pray for each and every one that's watching, Lord God, that they wouldn't be offended, but they would go be hopeful and go, my God wants to forgive me, that I could step out of this whole burdensome religion thing and I could just release, you would just release me from this. And even though the people still stay together, it's your spirit moving. God, I pray that your spirit would move, Lord, over all of our audience and over where they gather and in their homes. Father God, we ask you, Lord, for revival and a third great awakening. Lord God, we want to be the ones that follow you.
Yes.
Lord God, make us followers of you and your ways, Father God. We ask this. Lord, send revival, send a third great awakening. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.